DJ Zombie here with KSPC and Femin Industry. I have Julie Edwards from Deep Valley on the line for a new episode of Femin Industry. Thank you so much.
Hey, what's up?
A lot. There's always a lot, right?
Yeah, there's so much. There's so much.
So I'm going to start off with a basic question, because everybody gets their start in being involved in music in some way, shape, or form. So how did you start to get into music?
Well, my brother is a musician, and he's 8 years older than me, so I was just, like, born into hearing his bass lines coming through the air conditioning vents. It was just probably inevitable. And then I did a lot of musical theater and a lot of choral music, and I've always really, like, loved lots of different forms of music, like a big nerd, so.
How did you and Lindsay meet?
So I used to own a knitting shop in Atwater Village called The Little Knittery, and basically, it's true, Lindsay came in and wanted to learn how to crochet because she wanted to crochet some stuff to sell to make some extra cash over Christmas. So she came in, I taught her how to crochet, I taught her how to knit, and the rest is history.
That's a fun history.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. It's totally true, though.
Most artists lead double lives in being on and off tour. Can you describe a little bit of the things you do while you're on tour and the things that you do while you're off?
Well, I think artists live, like, thousands of different lives in thousands of different environments. I mean, on tour, it's never a question of figuring out what you're going to do with your time, because you don't really have any free time. Everything is sort of scheduled for you and set up for you, and you're on the road, you're just going. And then when you get home, you know, you have to, like, relearn time management, what to do with yourself, when to do it, how to do it. So that can be pretty weird. And then another thing that happens is, like, if you tour a lot, everything will change. Like, stores that were there will be gone, and, like, you're just part of a weird, like, tiny nomadic unit, a microculture. And it's pretty trippy.
Yeah, there's a certain level of sadness when you discover that restaurant that you found a couple of years back is just gone.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I get really hermity. I'm just like, well, I'm not gonna get out there because I don't know where anything is anymore. I'm just going to use the sharing economy to, like, bring me my food and my groceries and never leave the house.
Is there anything that you find that you have as a must-have for every tour?
There's so many must-haves. There's some really obvious ones. I'm trying to think of ones that would be unexpected. I mean, honestly, for me, it's this thing, just like, it's like a moisturizer, and it treats dry, chapped skin, and honestly, like, that is my must-have on tour.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That's what I use for tattoos.
Okay, right on. Cool.
Yeah. Can you talk a bit about how you choose who to work with for your music videos? They all have such incredible visuals.
Thank you. We tend to, like, work with people we know. On the first album cycle, we were on Island UK and Interscope, Cherry Tree in the States. We were touring a lot. We would sometimes fit music videos into, like, our one day off, and they often sourced the directors, which was, like, kind of like a hit or miss experience for us. So then on this album cycle, where we've had, like, 100% creative control without like, anybody really, like, inserting themselves into the process, we've picked all of the directors, and usually they're our friends. We have so many talented friends, and it's really fun to, like, collaborate with them.
What's something you're most proud of that you've created so far?
Well, I have a child, so that question's kind of, like, a given. But yeah, probably my awesome little sweet daughter, who's so cool, and I don't take any credit for it, actually. So it's not something I did. Let's see.
That's That must be harder when you're on tour.
It's like sleep. Sleep is very precious, and it's used. So I'm going to get like 2.5 or 3 hours. I've come to adjust to that. I'd say the hardest thing about touring with your kid is the sleep scenario. But I have an amazing friend, Kelsey Hart, who does a lot of our artwork, but also comes on tour with us, and she's our rock and roll nanny. And, you know, she really makes it all possible. She hangs with Mira when I'm working, which on tour is, like, pretty much all day long.
How does your daughter react when you're on stage, or is she just already gone by then?
Yeah, a majority of the time she falls asleep, but it's not because of the hour of the day. So if we're playing a festival during the day, she'll still fall asleep by the third song of our set. It's like a weird, like, sleeping pattern she has, where that just lulls her into a relaxed state and she sleeps.
Sounds like she's soothed by her mother's voice.
Yeah, she's soothed by the rhythms. I did a lot of recording while she was in my belly, and I did some playing, and so I think, like, it's a totally familiar and relaxing thing for her.
So, aside from this one, what's the worst question you've ever been asked on an interview?
Okay, well, there's so many worst questions, I just want to say, first of all. But and you asked it, honestly, but, like, how did you meet? That's a question that comes, and I'm like, I would almost rather go get dental work than rehash that. You know, maybe that's just, like, bad of me. But it's weird. When you've answered the same question so many times, I don't know. It just feels, you feel like such a jerk, like, repeating yourself again. You know what I mean? You feel so unfresh and, like, contrived. I think for me that's the worst question, is how did you guys meet?
But the answer is really cool, though.
It is, but it's not cool to me anymore. I don't know, and there's only so many ways you can say it. I mean, maybe I'm being limited creatively, but I don't know. That's my worst question. I guess the second worst, in some instances, is what does it feel like to be a woman in music or something like that, but it really depends who it's coming from and whether they know what it is they're asking. But when it's the wrong person and they don't know what they're asking, that's the second worst question.
There are a lot of people that make points that, you know, when people are referring to musicians, they should just say, this person is a musician, rather than saying, oh, focusing on, you're a female musician. It's like, no, you're a really awesome musician.
Okay, because it's a weird, like, you know, addendum, whereas I guess male is inherent in the word musician. You know what I mean? It's like, if you feel you have the need to qualify it with female, then that is based on the assumption that musician is inherently male. It also seems so, like, clinical. It's like I'm a female musician of the musician's disease.
Being a musician is one element of who you are, and being a mother is as well. What are some other aspects of who you are that might surprise people?
Loner and a misanthropist. I'm really, really good at being critical.
Well, everyone's a critic, right?
Yeah.
So
it takes one to know one.
Exactly. So your lyrics have a way of not holding back who you are. Who are some female artists that you look up to who aren't afraid to be blunt?
Well, I suppose Courtney Love. Babes in the Toyland, and they were straightforward with their feelings. Emily Haynes from Metric. She's an extraordinarily wise person, and she sees everything in a very broken down to its fundamental elements way, and she's like a total philosopher. And, you know, I think she says it like it is.
Yeah, I think...
It's a good question, though. PJ Harvey.
Yeah, PJ Harvey's awesome, too. Like, Emily Haynes...
Missy Elliott.
Those are all great, great, great ones.
I've got one more. MIA. Okay, sorry, you were going to say?
Oh, no worries. It's cool. I, like, totally agree with you on Emily Haynes. She has such a, like, beautiful, intricate way of being honestly sad and then still having those little elements of hope towards the end, too. which is such a piece of art.
I love that you think that. I don't have that same experience. She's like basically one of my favorite artists, but I see her music as very bleak in a refreshing way that delights me, because of course I love things that are super bleak.
Well, I think certain songs, like Winning, like at the very end, she's talking about how all our songs will be lullabies in no time.
Aww.
You know, like you have to pay attention for that one little like detail.
Right. Girl, you just quoted Emily Haynes solo. Prop.
Speaking of Emily Haynes, who are some female artists that you want to see at Desert Days?
I want to see Savages at Desert Days. I want to see Pins at Desert Days. Baby in Vain at Desert Days. I want to see Thelma and the Sleaze. I saw Coat Hangers at Desert Days. That was rad. Did you hear that noise just then?
Yes.
That's Mira shouting.
That's awesome.
Who do you want to see at Desert Days, Mira? She wants to see Elmo at Desert Days, but I don't think he's a female. I don't want to make any assumptions, but
yeah, that sounds like that is her demographic right there.
Yeah, and if you're talking about who I want, what female artists I want to see at Desert Days because they're playing and I want to go see them play, then I would say Caitlin Aurelia Smith.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of female artists on this particular festival lineup, and that's something that I appreciate about this festival. Are there any other festivals that you can think of offhand that have been as supportive of a female fronted lineup?
You know, I will say this, Reading and Leeds and the promoter who puts on Reading and Leeds, it's a big festival promoter in England. So this year they had an initiative to get all female acts on the main stage every day of the festival. So I think that's pretty unprecedented. And that's pretty cool.
That's really neat. I didn't know that.
Because those slots, those are opportunity slots. I mean, those slots get you in front of so many people and a really general population of people. I mean, it's a huge opportunity to be seen and be discovered. So why not just give those slots to some all-female acts and give them that opportunity? And, you know, I think it's been really positive. Like, all the acts who did it on the main stage, which actually were us, Pins, it's great because, like, basically, at that festival, these kids who are going to their first festival in England, that's kind of what Reading Leeds is. It's like, that's how, that inducts you into festival culture when you're like 14 in England. It's like, it's that step up that is so necessary if, in general, we want to see more all-female acts popping up and thriving and existing.
Yeah, I've seen a lot more support in the LA area that seems like an underground network of female artists almost that are really supportive of each other and working to make more female fronted lineups.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, we got to get it out from the underground. You know what I mean?
With that festival, having that initiative, it shows perhaps hope for a shift, or the shift kind of starting.
Yeah, it shows that some position that really has a big impact has an awareness, which is nice.
You've been in a band for 7 years, and you're in this female-fronted duo. Can you describe how you've seen misogyny and seen it change or shift over that time, if it has shifted much?
I don't know. I guess I feel misogyny is a really strong word. And I have to say, I don't feel like I've witnessed a lot of like really overt misogyny. I mean, it's happened. In Italy, this, like, middle-aged dude came up to me after we played, and he was like, you are very angry for a woman, but you are a very good drummer. So I was like, okay, I'm angry for a woman, and I'm a good drummer. I'm like, no, I just hit hard. I like loud music. You know, I'm actually not angry right now at all. So that was kind of, that was irritating. He had no awareness, like none. I think at the at this moment in time, as a female in like an all-female thing, in a band that has no dudes in it, you're always sort of coming face-to-face with these expectations of you that are whack. You know, either expecting you to suck and the bar being set really low, like you play drums really good for a girl, stuff like that, where you're like, okay, well, I'm in some weird minor league, I guess, permanently because I'm a female. That's kind of annoying. Yeah, I think it's just like expectation. And the sense that sometimes you're not being taken seriously, you know, when you get called girls, when you get called girls by people you work with, you know, I find that very, like, condescending. And it's hard to picture, like, people talking about a band of dudes, like a rock band of dudes, and saying, the boys. I mean, maybe if it was a boy band and they were 14 years old, but, like, if they're, like, grown men, which Lindsay and I are grown women, they probably wouldn't be called the boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like that where you're like, oh, right.
Who would you say in your family or group of friends has given you the most support?
I mean, I'm very, very fortunate. I feel like I've had so much support everywhere from everyone I know. Yeah, it would be hard to single someone out. I mean, definitely, like, my husband Phil is so supportive and so gets what I'm doing, which is cool. And but yeah, I receive a lot of support from everyone I know.
That's awesome. What's one of your favorite or a few of your favorite vinyl records?
I guess Peter Tosh, Will Wright, and on vinyl a lot, like Pink Floyd, Metal.
Nice. What was the first one that you said? Because you broke up a little bit.
Oh, Peter Tosh, Equal Rights. So good.
Love the title. What places in Los Angeles inspire you?
The Jurassic
Museum of Technology?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Love that place,
The
too.
Abandoned Zoo in Griffith Park. Watchtowers. Ooh, yeah. The stairs.
Oh, yeah.
The weird stairs of Los Angeles. Any of those weird stairs. Love those.
Those are really cool.
Yeah. The Aldred stairs are insane. Those are in Mount Washington. They're like, they turn wooden at one point. You're like, this doesn't even make sense.
Wait, where in Mount Washington?
And there's like 300 of them. Mount Washington is in northeast Los Angeles.
Oh, no, I know where it is. Like, I live in Los Angeles, but
Eldred.
I mean, like,
I'm sorry. It's called Eldred, E-L-D-R-E-D. They're kind of on the border of Highland Park in Mount Washington, like off of Avenue 50.
Where can people find your music? What are the best links out there?
Come to a show and buy it from us at the merch table.
Okay, so I like to close femininity interviews with the same question. And so we're going to close it with, if you could give your younger self or anyone a piece of advice for getting involved with music, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to do what you're doing, do what you love, don't judge yourself. You have your whole life to become overly neurotic and analytical about your career trajectory, so you might as well put that off for as long as possible. Be impractical, blaze your own path, because what you do is awesome.
Thank you so much, Julie from Deep Valley.